Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
Prime Minister Andrej Babiš has urged Czech citizens not to travel to Italy. Former Czech Defence Minister Jiří Šedivý was appointed new chief executive of the European Defence Agency, and Moscow has criticised Prague for renaming the city square in front of Russia's embassy. Prime Minister Andrej Babiš has urged Czech citizens not to travel to Italy and to stay at home for 2 weeks if they return from the country. Mr. Babiš made the statement on his Twitter account following his meeting with Deputy Health Minister Roman Primula on Friday. This measure is essential to prevent uncontrolled spreading of coronavirus in the Czech Republic, Mr. Babiš has said, adding that he will discuss the situation with Prague mayor and regional governors later in the day. So far, state authorities have advised Czechs to avoid 4 high-risk regions in Italy. According to the latest information, there are currently 3,858 people infected with coronavirus in Italy and 148 have died. A ban on the export of disinfectants comes into effect in the Czech Republic on Friday. The measure concerns all producers of disinfectants and will remain in place until further notice. According to the Minister of Health, Adam Vojtěch, the goal of the measure is to ensure sufficient domestic supply and also to prevent profiteering. Earlier this week, the Ministry of Health announced it was prohibiting the export of all FFP3 class respirators outside the country and their sale to all but medical and social facilities, public health protection bodies, integrated rescue services and other state administration bodies. There are currently 12 confirmed cases of the new coronavirus in the Czech Republic, while several dozen people are awaiting the results of tests for the virus. Former Czech Defence Minister Jiří Šedivý was appointed new chief executive of the European Defence Agency. He will assume office next month. Mr. Šedivý, who is 56, served in the past as Deputy Minister for European Affairs of the Czech Republic and permanent representative of the Czech Republic to NATO. He currently works at the Czech Ministry of Foreign Affairs as special representative for combating disinformation and hostile foreign influences. As an expert, he also played an important role in the Czech Republic. Republic's accession to NATO. It was during this period that he served as external advisor to President Václav Havel. Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova has criticized the decision of the Prague authorities to rename the city square in front of Russia's embassy in honor of slain Russian opposition figure Boris Nemtsov. The square was renamed on the 27th of February on the occasion of the 5th anniversary of Nemtsov's killing, while a nearby pathway was named after investigative journalist Anna Politkovskaya, shot to death in 2006. Mrs. Zakharova has called the act absurd and inexplicable, adding that similar steps which try to influence domestic policy in other countries infringe on international law. Slovak President Zuzana Čaputová is set to visit Brno on Tuesday. The Slovak head of state will meet with the mayor of Brno, Markéta Vaňková, and attend a commemorative event marking 100 years since the approval of Czechoslovakia's first ever constitution. Also attending the ceremony will be the Czech Republic's Supreme State Attorney Pavel Zeman, the newly elected Czech Ombudsman Stanislav Křeček, and other dignitaries. The Czechoslovak constitution was approved on the 29th of February 1920 by the National Assembly and defined the country as a democratic republic headed by a president where the source of all power rested with its people. The annual One World Festival of Human Rights documentary films got underway in Prague on Thursday evening under the motto Not Till a Hot January, addressing environmental issues. Now in its 22nd year, the festival will be screening 133 documentaries from 60 countries and will bring more than 130 festival guests to the Czech capital. At the opening event at Prague's Lucerna Cinema, the People in Need Foundation presented its annual Human Rights Award Homo Homini to the jailed Tajik lawyer Buzurmek Yorov for his commitment to defending basic human rights and to assure a fair trial to all citizens of Tajikistan. The prize, presented by Ukrainian director and former political prisoner Oleg Sentsov, was accepted by Yorov's brother. After coming to a close in Prague, the One World Festival will move on to 35 other Czech towns and cities. And finally, a quick look at the weather. Saturday is expected to be partly cloudy to overcast, with daytime highs ranging between 3 and 7 degrees Celsius. I'm Ruth Franková, and that's the end of the news. Hello and welcome to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio, with me, Ruth Franková. Coming up in today's program, former Czech ambassador to NATO Jiří Šedivý has been elected chief executive of the European Defence Agency. We talk to New York-based photographer Marie Tomanová about her new exhibition in Prague. And later, what are the chances of Czech women being elected prime minister or president? All that coming up, so please stay with us. Veteran diplomat Jiří Šedivý, a former ambassador to NATO and Minister of Defence, was elected chief executive of the European Defence Agency on Thursday by EU ministers of defence. As such, he will be tasked with developing the bloc's strategic autonomy in defence. Brian Kennedy has the details.
For nearly two decades, Jiří Šedivý has held senior defence and foreign policy positions on the Czech, European and international level. He is currently the Ministry of Foreign Affairs Special Envoy for Resilience and New Security Threats. Citing that extensive background, EU Foreign Policy Chief Josep Borrell had personally put Ambassador Šedivý forth as a candidate for Chief Executive of the EDA. That's an intergovernmental body charged with developing the bloc's military cooperation on security and defence issues. In a statement on Thursday, Mr. Borrell said Jiří Šedivý's ministerial and diplomatic experience, as well as his deep practical knowledge of the European and transatlantic security and defence realm, make him the ideal candidate to lead the European Defence Agency in coming years. Ambassador Šedivý is the first official from Central and Eastern Europe named to the post. After being shortlisted, he toured European capitals to outline his vision for the agency and win support for his candidacy. He told Czech daily Hospodářské noviny, "It had been crucial to get France and Germany on my side." Under European law, the area of security and foreign policy remains a matter for member states, which must agree unanimously on a possible common approach. Ambassador Šedivý's role will be more of a managerial than a political one, says military and defence security analyst Lukáš Dikčka.
The agency is charged with developing the military capabilities of EU member states, in particular on the material level. That means assessing whether there are shortcomings among individual EU states, and if so, how to address them.
The EU's 2016 global strategy put forward attaining strategic autonomy in defence as a long-term goal. In theory, that means having EU member states capable of autonomously developing, operating, modifying, and maintaining the full spectrum of defence capabilities. What it means in practice, also for the NATO alliance, remains unclear. Improving communication with NATO itself will be a challenge, says security.
Well, officially quite good. Communication between the EDA and NATO is actually very poor, and the agency is seen as duplicating some functions of other organizations in the alliance structure, for example, of the NATO Science and Technology Organization. So cooperation has been poor or non-existent. What power he has to improve that isn't clear. But his top priority certainly will be to better develop structural cooperation on a wide range of future projects and bring about closer ties within the framework of defence.
Ambassador Šedivý's role will be to help the EU assess its options and tools, political, operational, technological and industrial, to make military action whenever needed, with NATO or on the EU level. As such, research and technology is among the EDA's top priorities and, by definition, takes a long-term view.
Brian Kennedy with that report. Photographer Maria Tomanova, who has been living in the United States for the past decade, won many accolades for Young Americans, a series of striking portraits that came out in book form 12 months ago. Now, Tomanova has a new exhibition in Prague, based on photographs she took on a rare visit to her hometown in South Moravia in late 2018. Ian Willoughby spoke to her just ahead of the opening of It Was Once My Universe.
It Was Once My Universe is a video installation based on photos you took in Mykolaiv when you returned home there after a period of almost a decade in the US. How did it feel to be back home after so long away?
It was a very strange feeling, and I think it felt really confusing and conflicting in a way, because when I lived in the United States for such a long time, whenever something went wrong, or you know, there were some tough times, as you know, it always happens, I always dreamt about, if anything goes really bad, I'm gonna go back home. So I always had money hidden in my sock for a plane ticket, you know, the last resort. And finally coming home, I realized that I do not really belong there anymore either. It felt like I'm a stranger in my own home, which was something I've never experienced before. And I think it was really important for me to have the little camera and keep taking pictures, because through that way, I kind of cope with the situation. And also looking at them back, it in a way had the same feeling what I did in the United States before, where I felt like a stranger in the beginning, which was taking pictures in the nature and seeing myself in the American landscape. Now it kind of helped me the same way, seeing the pictures, and there are some self-portraits as well, seeing myself in my home again and kind of trying to feel like I'm still part of it and I belong in there.
And tell us, what are the subjects of your photos from this recent trip to Mykolaiv? What was it that grabbed your eye?
In the new work, there is actually a lot of also stills and landscapes and pictures of personal artifacts and stuff that I didn't really photograph before or didn't show before. So it presents a whole another depth of the work, not just faces and people. And I guess still I'm fascinated by my stepfather's horses, which is something I've been fascinated before when I was painting. I was painting a lot of horses. So it was almost as a journey of rediscovering my home again. Things that are totally basic and normal, and I didn't pay attention to these things before I left the United States, all of a sudden felt new and precious and really something that I felt I need to record them to kind of have them or own them in a way. It's a very personal work that I'm still a little uncomfortable with showing because it's so recent and still so raw for myself. But it's also a way how to cope with the whole situation as well, you know, and sharing it with people also for me works in a very strong way.
The other part of the show here is called Live for the Weather, and that's based on photos you took on a mobile before you went to the States in the second half of the 2000s. Do you see any continuity, apart from the subjects in terms of the people, but say in terms of style, is there any continuity between the work before you basically learned to be a photographer and what you've done more recently?
I think there's a lot of things that are in common. First of all, those pictures that I took between 2005 and 2010 were just for myself. I never thought of showing them anywhere because, you know, there was no Instagram. We didn't use Facebook for showing pictures. Selfie wasn't a thing. It was just to kind of keep the precious moments and keep them alive a little longer through the photographs. And looking at that body of work, which I edited together with the curator Thomas Beachdell back in the United States, I was feeling like I'm looking at a whole different life. You know, it's like the time before that felt so distant in the United States. All my best friends, there's a lot of people who we were a really tight group of friends. And it's very immediate, very raw, very personal. And I think it, in a way, relates to the work that the new work, because it has the same diary-like feeling of it.
This, I think, is your second exhibition in Prague in about 6 months, maybe even less. After being away for so long, you're also nominated for the Czech Grand Design Awards. Is it important to you to have that kind of link to this country?
Yes, it's a very precious and beautiful thing to come back home and have a show. You know, it's a great reason why to come here. And it's also very beautiful to be able to show the Young American work, which I showed at Pragovka, and to bring all of the young kids from New York back here and, you know, share it with the people here. as well as I'm now very curious how people will react to this work, because this is about Czech people. This is about Czech country. This is about me being Czech. This is about all the people here in Czech. And I think it's very different than the Young American work. So I'm curious how that will go, what people will think, how they will relate to it. And it's a lot about displacement and leaving the country and coming back. And I think I'm from the generation where lots of people left and then came back, you know. So there is a lot that I think people will relate to because I'm from the generation that was able to travel abroad.
Photographer Marie Tomanova speaking to my colleague Ian Willoughby. Women in this part of the world have had the right to vote since the first Czechoslovak constitution was approved a century ago. However, Czechs have never had a female prime minister or president, and the vast majority of the country's politicians are still men. Why is that, and how likely is change in this regard? Ian Willoughby has more.
V prvním kole byl za předsedu předsedkyni byla zvolena Markéta Pekarová Adamová.
In November, Markéta Pekarová Adamová was elected chairwoman of TOPOL 9, making her the only female leader of a party in the Czech parliament and one of a tiny number of women to ever hold such a post. Though it's often said there are more women involved in politics at local level in the Czech Republic, in parliament the level of female participation rarely climbs above a fifth of all legislators. Veronika Šprincová is director of advocacy group Forum 50%.
The situation is sometimes changing because both in Senate and in the Chamber of Deputies, in the lower house, sometimes people resign and other people come. So the number is changing a bit. Now it's, I think it's about 22% of women deputies in the lower house. It's even lower in the upper house because there's a different electoral system. It's the majoritarian ones, and it's less favor for women.
Though the number of female lawmakers may not be high today, the situation has improved slightly since the 1990s, says Šprincová.
The situation is sometimes changing because both in Senate and in the Chamber of Deputies, in the lower house, sometimes people resign and other people come. So the number is changing a bit. Now it's, I think it's about 22% of women deputies in the lower house. It's even lower in the upper house because there's a different electoral system. It's the majoritarian ones, and it's less favor for women.
Petra Jelinková has frontline experience in this field, having been active with the Green Party at district level in Prague in the past. She says Czech politics can be a hostile environment for women.
What can be really tough is the fact that people around you will try to discourage you. And there are so many, let's say, invisible things that can discourage you or maybe just make you feel bad about being politically active. Some of them are very obvious. It's the fact that women who are openly active in public life are sometimes threatened or ridiculed, and this can happen offline, but very often online these days. Female politicians or activists often receive some really disgusting messages, and it can be sometimes even dangerous.
Jelinková says that other pressures can also come into play.
There can be some like stupid remarks you have to face every day. There can be some problems for women because they are very often still in the traditional role of caretakers in the Czech Republic. It's mostly women who take care of children or their parents as they are getting older. The typical situation for a woman to start her political career would be that she's doing her job. She also has a family to take care of. And besides these two shifts, she now has a third one, which is going to party meetings, taking part in local events and political events. So it can be very time-consuming.
According to Veronika Šprincová of Forum 50%, sexism is deep-rooted in Czech society, with adverts for all manner of products often featuring women's bodies. And this situation is reflected in the political arena.
Sometimes women are sent back to their kitchens and they are said that they are not suitable for politics. So this kind of criticism, this kind of prejudices, of course, and it's not only a Czech specialty, women are very likely to be assessed based on their appearance, what they wear, how they wear it, and so on and so on. Also, they are very likely assessed as representatives of women. And if one woman just makes a mistake or does something wrong, it's very likely generalized for women in politics as such.
Petra Jelinkova shares one amusing, if dispiriting, example of sexism that she encountered at a political meeting.
Very often, women are asked about things that are not even relevant for their political opinions. Let me give you an example. I remember I went to a public discussion on social policies, and the very first question I received from the host was, so it must be really hard for your husband. When do you do ironing for him? Do you even iron his shirt? I was really, really shocked because nobody asked my male colleagues on the panel. And when I replied that I had no husband and no iron at home, I think the host was really shocked. So it's these little obstacles that you have to deal with every day.
Jelinkova also says that in Czech politics, many important decisions are made over a beer after formal meetings have ended. This puts women who often need to get home earlier at a disadvantage. Jana Spekhorstová is a member of the European Union of Women, a group linked to Top 09, and ran unsuccessfully in elections to the European Parliament with Jaromír Štětina's Europe Together party. She says she's come around to the view that Czech parties need to introduce a quota system for female candidates. 5 years ago, I still thought quotas were unnecessary. But then I compared experiences with colleagues from Europe. They described, for instance, the situation in Germany around the year 1970, when it was just like here in the Czech Republic today. Without quotas, we wouldn't have Angela Merkel or Ursula von der Leyen. So yes, I'm a big supporter of quotas.
Takže ano, já jsem velká zastánkyně kvót.
Veronika Šprincová's Forum 50% are firm advocates of quotas. She rejects the argument that they too are a form of discrimination, as they may artificially block the path of talented men.
I don't think that the current situation is ideal in this way, that people would be chosen on the basis of their skills, of their abilities, of their previous political work. There are other factors, just part of the decision, who will be on the ballot and on what place he or she will be. So we don't live in this ideal world, because if the marriage would be the only factor, I believe that there will be much more women candidates and much more women elected.
Petra Jelinkova, who's currently involved in the foundation of a new party named Budoucnost, or The Future, says if there were more women in Czech politics, it would also benefit the country's male population.
If you look at statistics, it shows quite clearly that those countries where women are in charge of politics as well, together with men, they have lower rates of corruption, they have better general results, and it's good for all the groups of society, not just on the gender level. The more diversity you have in policy making, the more chances you have that people will be involved and their opinions will be represented, so it's good for everyone.
Veronika Šprincová says she takes some heart from the fact that Markéta Pekarová Adamová has become leader of Top 09. She also says the ruling ANO party have been relatively strong on promoting women to senior positions. But overall, the head of Forum 50% doesn't foresee major progress anytime soon.
I don't see any political power on the current political map which would have this topic on their agenda. So there is no pressure, not from general public, not from politicians themselves.
For her part, Petra Jelinkova believes things are beginning to move in the right direction.
We can see that there are more female role models. And I can see that, especially with the younger generation, they can see it. They don't get discouraged. And they can see that women can be successful. And it is really important to see that a female politician is not just a token. It's not just an isolated, exceptional phenomena. So I think that with every woman who's a journalist, a politician, an activist, and speaks loudly in public, I think the chances are much bigger for more women to join.
Unlike neighboring Slovakia, for instance, the Czech Republic has never had a female head of government or state. But Jelinková thinks this too could change.
I certainly can imagine a female president and a female prime minister in Czechia. We still need to see who the candidates are for the upcoming presidential elections. But if we look at the example of Slovakia with Zuzana Čaputová, I think that we're also ready for a female president who's sensitive to all these important things like gender issues, environment, minorities and their rights. So this is something that we can hope for, and hopefully we'll have an amazing female prime minister and president soon.
Petra Jelinková ending that report by Ian Willoughby, which brings us to the end of our program here on Radio Prague International. If you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franíková. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.